My dearly beloved in Christ, in past years, I have concentrated on the gospel for Passion Sunday, in which the Jews go so far as to take up stones to throw at our Lord. And he went out and hid himself from them because his hour had not yet come. But this year, I would like on Passion Sunday to concentrate instead on the epistle, which is from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. And I believe that this is the only Sunday of the entire year in which we read from this particular epistle, which is interesting. St. Paul wrote 14 epistles. Four of them were addressed to particular persons. Two to his disciple and bishop, St. Timothy. One to another early bishop, St. Titus. And another to a layman named Philemon. But of the other 10 epistles, they're all addressed to inhabitants of a particular area, like the Christians at Ephesus to the Ephesians, or at Philippi to the Philippians, or at Thessalonica to the Thessalonians, and so forth. But this epistle was addressed to the Hebrews, the Israelites, who had converted. And it is believed that he wrote this in the year 63 from Rome to the Hebrew converts in Palestine to strengthen them in their faith, as he had heard that some of them were relapsing into Judaism. And the epistle is very different from all the other epistles of St. Paul. It seems to be, or the focus, to go back into the Old Testament and talk about the various events and persons in the Old Testament and show how they all foreshadowed our Lord and that he fulfilled all the prophecies and that he truly was the Messiah that their prophets had predicted. In today's section that is read, the section that is read at today's Mass, there are two things I would like to concentrate on. One of them, St. Paul refers to the blood of the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Sometimes it was sprinkled on the people in a ceremony. And then the other point that he makes is that our Lord was a priest, the great high priest. So first of all, let us begin with this idea of the sacrifices. And we go back to the sacrificial lamb, the paschal lamb. And we remember that when the Israelites were delivered under the leadership of Moses from slavery in Egypt, that there were 10 plagues. And the purpose of these plagues was to force Pharaoh to let them go. He didn't want to let the Israelites go because they were slaves. They were building his pyramids and temples and things in Egypt. So he didn't want them to go. And Moses told him that God would punish him and the Egyptian people, and the plagues came one after another. But the most terrible of all the plagues was the final plague, the 10th plague, in which the firstborn son of each family was killed by the angel of death, that passed over the land and slew the firstborn. But the Israelites had been instructed to take a lamb, an unblemished lamb, and sacrifice it, and then take the blood and sprinkle it on the doorposts of their home. Then they were to eat this lamb in the paschal meal, and that very night they would be delivered from slavery. Well, the angel passed over their homes because he saw the blood of the paschal lamb prefiguring the precious blood of our Lord. And he slew again the firstborn of the families of the Egyptians. And that's when Pharaoh told Moses, leave. And the Israelites were delivered. And ever after, they remembered that event and observed the ceremony of the paschal meal on the feast of Passover, the passing over of the angel. And of course, it was at the paschal meal that our Lord instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But that lamb, that unblemished lamb, was a symbol of or a type of Christ, the Lamb of God, who laid down his life for us. But this idea of the blood is something we see in the sacrifices of the Old Testament. And our Lord shed his precious blood for us. We are purified. You might say our soul is washed in the precious blood when we go to confession. When we go to communion, we receive the body and the blood of our Lord. Even though you receive communion only under the species of bread, you also receive the precious blood, because Jesus is present whole and entire in both species of the bread and wine that are changed into his body and blood. And so you receive the precious blood in Holy Communion. And it is this precious blood that our Lord poured forth when he died on the cross. And we know from the story of the Passion that after our Lord had died, to prove that he was dead, because the soldiers were breaking the bones of the legs of the two thieves. But when they came to our Lord and saw that he was already dead, the centurion pierced his side with a lance, and the last few drops of blood came gushing out from his heart. It was as though our Lord wanted to show us his great love by shedding every last drop of precious blood for our redemption. So we have that thought expressed by St. Paul in today's epistle on the blood of our Lord. He says that our Lord entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, nor again by virtue of blood of goats and calves, but by virtue of his own blood. And he also mentions in this epistle that our Lord was a priest. Brethren, when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, what is a priest? A priest is one who is set aside from the people, is consecrated, is dedicated to the work of offering sacrifice to God. A priest offers a sacrifice. And if we go back in the Old Testament, the first person that we see referred to as a priest was called Melchizedek. And so this is back at the time of Abraham. Abraham had gone on a campaign to rescue his nephew Lot and his family from this group of kings who raided their town and took them away as prisoners. And when Abraham heard this, he gathered some men and he went and rescued them. And on his way back from this campaign, Melchizedek, who was the king of a town, Salem, came out and met Abraham and praised him and blessed him and offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God, a sacrifice of bread and wine. And that's why we read in the Psalms that our Lord was a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Because as Melchizedek offered a sacrifice of bread and wine, our Lord used bread and wine at the Last Supper to consecrate his own body and blood. And that's why, again, he's referred to as a priest according to the order or the same manner as Melchizedek. So that's the first priest we hear referred to as a priest. It says in the book of Genesis that he was a priest of the Most High God. But then we come to the Aaronic priesthood. Aaron, the brother of Moses, was the first high priest of the Israelites. After they came out of Egypt, they camped at the foot of Mount Sinai. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and then he revealed to them the various ceremonies that they were to practice to worship him. And one of them was that they were going to have a priesthood. And so Moses consecrated Aaron to be the first priest, and this was passed down then through Aaron's descendants. And these priests would offer the sacrifices in the Old Testament, the various animals, sometimes a lamb, sometimes a calf, or goat, or other animals. In fact, there were many different sacrifices. And when Solomon dedicated the temple he built, there were thousands of sacrifices offered, thousands of animals that were slain and offered to God as a homage, taking these animals, removing them from human consumption, and offering them to Almighty God. Now, these sacrifices in the Old Testament would have no value whatsoever, except that they foreshadowed our Lord's sacrifice of his own life. And we might say that the future sacrifice of our Lord on the cross, retroactively, I guess you might say, gave them a value, these sacrifices of the old law. They foreshadowed the perfect sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. And that sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice. Our Lord was the priest. He offered his own life. In fact, he had said to the Jewish people, to the priests, he said, "Nobody takes my life away from me, but I lay it down when I will." So he was taken, as St. Paul also says, because it was his own will. He was sacrificed for us. So our Lord was the priest on Calvary, and he was also the victim that was offered to God in atonement for our sins, for the sin of Adam and Eve and all the sins that have been committed. We were redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord shed for us in dying on the cross. And what is wonderful is that this death of our Lord on the cross is reenacted every day in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And the holy sacrifice of the Mass is a sacrifice because it has all the elements of a sacrifice. There is a victim, the Holy Eucharist, Jesus himself, who comes down on the altar and is offered to his Father. There is a priest. Jesus is the principal priest at every Mass. That's why it is the same sacrifice as the sacrifice of the cross. The priest is the same. The victim is the same, and it is offered to God. Now, there is a difference between the Mass and the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. On Calvary, our Lord died in a bloody manner, but our Lord can die no more. In the Mass, which is offered in an unbloody manner, our Lord offers himself to his Heavenly Father and again is present in the species, the Eucharistic species. The other difference with the Mass is that on Calvary, our Lord earned for us the graces of redemption, whereas in the Mass, he applies those graces to our souls. But other than those two minor differences, that the Mass is unbloody, Calvary was a bloody sacrifice of our Lord's life, and that on Calvary, our Lord earned for us the graces of redemption, whereas in the Mass, those graces are applied to our souls. Other than those differences, the sacrifice is the same. And this sacrifice is so pleasing to Almighty God that it has often been said that the world could more easily exist without the Son than without the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And we know that the devil knows this and has always sought to destroy the Mass. The devil hates the Mass and would love to do anything he can to keep us from going to Mass and devoutly participating in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And we know that Satan finally accomplished his designs, by and large, throughout the world, with the institution of the Novus Ordo Missae in 1969. And what is interesting about the Novus Ordo, apart from all the perversion of the wording, is that the idea of sacrifice was eliminated. And what do they call now in the Novus Ordo Church? What do they call Mass? The celebration of the Lord's Supper. All the talk is about the Last Supper and the meal, etc. No talk about the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. And when this was pointed out by theologians, the defenders of the Novus Ordo said, oh, and they pointed to the introduction in the new missal that mentions the Mass as a sacrifice. But this is the interesting point. It is only mentioned once or twice, and it refers to it as a sacrifice of praise. It eliminates the idea that the Mass is a propitiatory sacrifice. And the Council of Trent emphasized that point, that the Mass is a propitiatory sacrifice. What does that word mean? It means that it makes atonement to God. The Mass offers propitiation or atonement for sin. The Mass benefits the souls in purgatory. Every time we attend Mass, part of the temporal punishment due to our sins is wiped away. It is a true propitiatory sacrifice. And that whole idea was eliminated completely with the advent of the Novus Ordo Missae, the meal. So let us never forget that the Mass is a true sacrifice. It is our Lord offering his life to his Father, and it is infinite in value. That is why Catholics who understand their faith love the Mass and desire to be present at the Mass as often as possible. So these two points then of today's epistle, we should remember the idea that our Lord shed his precious blood for us, and that that shedding of blood was foreshadowed by the sacrifice of the Paschal Lamb and the angel passing over the homes of the Israelites, and that our Lord is truly a priest, the great high priest, who offered this sacrifice of his life for our salvation. Let us never forget the love of our Lord. The purpose of Passiontide, the last 2 weeks of Lent, are to completely concentrate on the Passion. During the past 4.5 weeks, thoughts for meditation were the evil of sin, the need of atoning for sin, fasting, etc. But the final 2 weeks of Lent, while we continue our penances and sacrifices, the emphasis should be on the Passion and death of our Lord. We read of saints who could just simply take their crucifix in their hand and look at it and meditate. And they meditate on the love which led our Lord to die for us. That meditation should prompt us to love our Lord with all our hearts, to grow every day in love of God, and to live the rest of our lives motivated by the love of God. If we have offended God in the past, that is the past. Let us from this day forward live a life of love, love of God, who loved us more than we can ever fully appreciate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.